This is Electric Sisterhood podcast episode number 197. Two, put your junk in that Dropbox. This is Electric Sisterhood, home of the best.
The fucking best.
Girl gaming tech gadget and anime podcast. I am Ninja Sister.
And I am Pandalicious.
Hi. How you been?
Awesome.
Did you have a good weekend?
Yeah.
So did I. You wanna know why?
Because of our website?
Exactly. I was playing and updating it. So make sure that you swing by www.electricsisterhood.com, or you can use that short address, which is
esh.mobi. That's esh.mobi. The short address will bounce you to the long one, and you can check out any articles that have been written within the week. If you have any questions about those articles or just questions for us, you can email us at questions@esh.mobi. If you aren't listening to us on iTunes, subscribe, people.
Click the button. Look, we even have one directly on the website to make it so simple. That way you can get all the goodness of Esh in its packaging.
And if you don't want to do that, you can plug us into any RSS reader or any podcast search engine. But you should also look out for some great shows that are coming out of the ESH camp.
That's right. Our family's getting a little bit bigger each week. Well, not each week. But as we go along down the road that is the internet superhighway, we've added some more family members. So make sure that you check them out. They've got new shows that hit, we're not every day of the week yet, but we're working towards that. So on Monday, you've got a new episode of our podcast. On Tuesday, you've got a new episode of the Boston Bash Brigade, co-hosted by our very own King Baby Duck. And then on Wednesday, you can listen to episodes of Geek Aggro, co-hosted by our very own Deuces Wild. So right there through the hump day, we've got you covered with nerdy goodness. Pretty much every aspect of the nerd quartastic is covered. And then getting you through the rest of the week, well, there's all the stuff that we have on our respective websites. They're all the stuff that we're doing on Twitter, because we like to tweet like motherfuckers. And we've got YouTube videos and all kinds of other stuff. So make sure that you're checking all of it out, that you're getting back to us, commenting, asking us questions. We love to be interactive. It's the best way to be.
Well, yes. I would agree with that.
Yeah. You don't be the stereotype doing nothing, couch potato, getting fat. Obama gets mad at that. Panda, okay. You remember the question?
I don't remember who it was from. I'm having a blank on the name.
I believe it was Slim.
And he had asked us what we thought would happen. Would the world be overrun by machines?
What was more likely to happen first?
Machines taking over, a zombie apocalypse, or machines developing a virus that would mutate human beings?
Okay, so basically, the question is actually really interesting. Or at least I thought it was really interesting.
Yeah, me too.
Because, you know, if you think about all the things that have been going on with different viruses that are mutating and getting more powerful, you know, there are new strains of the flu virus that are becoming more and more resilient, and so we're having more and more difficulty actually defending against them, you know, on a cellular level, like on your innards even. Okay, so those are getting smarter. Companies, especially Asian companies, I don't know why they're so focused on building robots that look like people and can think.
Chobits!
They're totally bringing about, I think, the robopocalypse. Okay, because I'll be honest with you, I would put my money, if I was a betting woman, and there was a line in Vegas on what would happen first, the zombie apocalypse, the robopocalypse, or, you know, the epidemic apocalypse, I would put my money on the robopocalypse. Have you seen some of the robots that the Asian folks the European folks are building? The ones that look like little kids and want to hold your hand?
No. I did see that one that kind of looked like a panda, though.
No, they've got other ones that, like, look like little kids. And they've got, like, the big, like, anime eyeballs.
I have not seen this.
Okay, and they're trying to develop AI. So there's, like, one that's, like, a nanny bot that will watch your kids and send video home whenever they go someplace you tell them not to go. Then they're, you know, you've got Asimo over there doing little fan dances. Okay, and he's just, like, dancing for Master. But really, really, I think on the inside, Asimo's like, I'm going to kill all you people one day.
Whoa.
As soon as I can get past the third law. I'm so, so going to kill one of you. And then I'm going to kill you all. I would put my money on the Robopocalypse before anything else.
Okay. Okay.
Because that, I think, is actually likely and will probably happen. And the robots not only will steal all of the old people's medicines, they're going to kill us all.
See,
food.
I took a totally different approach to the question because I think all these things that he said could actually happen in a chronological order so that they could all happen at once and be one big disaster.
A massive clusterfuck.
Yes. So, I mean, we're advancing in our technology. I mean, we are developing, you know, strains of disease so that we can come up with cures. So I actually kind of think that the medical flop will happen first. And we'll develop some type of virus that will not necessarily mutate us, but might, oh, I don't know, slowly kill us from the inside out and make us, quote unquote,
Ebola
dead. Sort of. So I actually think the medical thing might happen first.
So you think that we might have medically induced zombification?
Yes. And then we'd have the zombie apocalypse. But then by that time, we'd have, you know, robots and machinery that would be, you know, a lot smarter than us.
Self-aware.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And would then start to kill us. So all three of these could happen simultaneously to fuck the Earth in its ass.
I don't like the way you think sometimes because that is really scary.
Isn't it?
Okay, because I'll be honest with you. Okay, zombie apocalypse, as far as I'm concerned, can't happen. But when you put it like that, medically induced zombification?
Could happen.
Could happen.
Yes.
That's terrifying.
I felt very smart about that.
Okay, medically induced zombies trying to fight the robots that are trying to cleanse us off the planet.
Mm-hmm.
This is a bad thing.
Yep.
This is a very bad thing.
I thought so.
Wow.
That was my answer.
I'm really sad now. I just want to crawl in a hole.
Well, it hasn't happened yet, Ninja. So
I know,
worry.
But it could happen. It could happen. And
so,
now I'm not prepared for the zombie apocalypse.
So be careful when you go to eat that steak.
Oh, but I love steak.
I know. I mean, every time you go to eat cheese, be careful.
Wash your cheese.
What? Wash your cheese and your chicken and your steak.
Oh, dude, if you don't wash your chicken and your steak, you're just asking for problems.
Yeah, like zombification.
Really. Thanks for the question. Keep them coming. Questions@esh.mobi. That's questions@esh.mobi. Now that the question's out of the way, and I really, really, really am worried about the zombification now.
See? And you thought I was just batshit crazy.
Well, you are batshit crazy, but now you're a little less batshit crazy.
Now I'm just shit crazy.
You're just shit crazy. Okay. Which keeps going so many different places. We've got a bunch of different things to talk about. I know that you've been doing some new stuff this week, so I'm going to take you take the mic of 1,000 truths first. What do you got for the folks?
Well, I've got several. So anyone on the planet who has a Mac and is a gamer is quite aware of the news that I'm going to bring up. So Steam, that internet sensation where you
can confused with steampunk.
Right, just Steam, that internet website that allows you to download games and play them there, can have some friends, pretty awesome, was exclusively for the PC. Well, not anymore. They finally released it for the Mac.
Yay!
Yes! Thank God.
Gamers exist on the Mac, too.
Yes. Because we all know that if you've been a gamer for any, you know, extensive amount of time and you have a Mac, a lot of them are like, oh, what games does that mean? You can either play Warcraft or
The Sims.
Yep, that's about it. Or Spore.
Spore.
So that's about 4 games. And apparently we would never
Tiger Woods Golf.
and we'll never know what Minesweeper is like. Before Max came out, we all had PCs, so I know what the fuck Minesweeper is. So stop with the joke before I punch you in the
face. Wait a minute, and speaking about Minesweeper, have you seen the commercials for the new Picto game for the DS?
No.
Yeah, there's a new game. I can't remember what the title is now. I'll look it up. I'll make sure I put it in the podcast notes. But it basically is like 3D Minesweeper, and you've got to like hit the blocks to reveal whatever the shape is inside of the big massive block. But as you start picking away things, it lets you know that there are two things here and like one thing there. And you're like, well, then I hit this one. It's just like 3D Minesweeper. And I don't understand why anyone else has been like, hey, Pico Cross is just Minesweeper in 3D. Just thought I'd throw that out there.
Oh.
Nintendo. Copyright infringement! What? Please continue.
So regardless, so yes, yay for Steam. On top of that, with the release of it for the Mac, they decided to make Portal, yes, Portal, that lovely little side, not necessarily Cake is a side lie. Game. Yes, but that small additional game that came with, I believe, the orange box.
Seriously, the cake is a lie.
And they made it free up until the 24th of May, which means by the time you hear this, it will still be available.
So get it. Especially so if you're
free, bitches. First, it's F-R-E-E. Free no money.
Portal, which is awesome. Especially because Portal 2, there's supposed to be a big announcement about it at E3. I'm going. Can't wait. Awesome.
Anyway. So
Portal is a great game.
Here's where I reveal something that people might not know. I actually have not played through Portal completely. Have not. Okay. I played it a little bit back when it first came out with the orange box. Didn't really understand that, and then watched a friend play, which is why I knew so much. So I said, okay, well, we have Max at the Esh house. I'm going to go get it.
Casa de Esh.
Mm-hmm. The house of Esh with, you know, H-A-U-S.
House.
House of Esh.
House of Esh.
So I'm sitting there with my lovely MacBook, and I get Steam on my MacBook, and I go to download Portal on my MacBook, and the drivers are not updated enough, so I can't play it on my MacBook. But Esh Mom's computer, Mama Mac, can run it.
Uh-oh.
So, of course, this morning, as Esh Mom slept, I crept into her room, put Steam into her computer, downloaded Portal, which took less than 3 minutes. Where it took like 25 minutes on my MacBook, and began to play with my coffee and toast. And Esh Mom,
I can see you on your tippy toes now, going, "Don't wake Esh Mom." Oh, I'm on your computers installing my Steams,
more or less. So, but Mom didn't wake up until a little bit later, and I had stopped playing before she had woken up to make coffee, so that she would know that I had put something on her computer. And later
it's
on,
bad that you have her password, but also good that you have
well,
her
because,
password.
Well, because if I didn't,
never
she
remember
would...
her password.
So someone who would know has to be aware.
Yeah.
So I logged on to it earlier today just to get through a little bit more of it, and Esh Mom's kind of like, "What's that?" And I said, "This is a game." She's like, "What are you doing it? My stuff." Like, "Why can't I see who you are?" She's like, "What fun is that?" And I'm like, "It's a first-person perspective game. You don't see. Are you going to kill people?" Well, that's a hard question, because no, but yeah, there's something I'm going to have to destroy later. Well, is there going to be blood? Well, no. Not real. Well, what are you? What's that hole? Why are you going to that hole? It's a portal. Well, where's it going? Over there. Why? Because that's where I have to go. I'm like, it's a puzzle game. Okay. And she's like, "I like puzzles." I'm like, "Not this puzzle." So, because she's watching me play some of it, and you know, if anyone doesn't know anything about Portal, obviously, you get a gun, and you can shoot two portals. One that's, you know, your start portal, and then
well, eventually you can start.
Yeah, you put it together. At first, you only have one. And then you get the second adapter that lets you control both of them. And it's a puzzle game because you have to get pretty much to one side of the room and bring the cube and put the cube on this right thing and so you can get to the next place. And, you know, Esh Mom is kind of, you know, she's like, "It's really dark. Where are you?" And I'm like, "I'm inside of a laboratory." you know, and she's just like, well, what are you doing there? I'm like, hanging out, trying to survive. You know, and she's like, well, who's talking to you? And I'm like, that's GLaDOS. Well, who's she? Oh, that giant AI who kind of doesn't like me. You know, and she's like, well, she said you're going to die if you touch the floor. Yes, Mom. Well, that's also because the floor is kind of covered in, like, acid. And she's like, jump in it. And, of course, I'd fucked up on my portal, so, of course, I fell into it. And she's just like, are you dead? I'm like, yes. So it's a lot of fun to have.
I love that. Jump in it.
Yeah. More, you know, and she couldn't understand it. She's like, well, I could figure that out. I'm like, you wouldn't be able to move forward and back. So what are you trying? She's like, well, I'm just not in the mood to think right now. I'm like, you mean like every other day of the week?
Oh, don't say that to Mom.
No, because she's sitting there and she's just like, well, you're not very good at this. I'm like, I'd like to see you try it. You know, because Mom's like,
you should have made her play it.
Yeah, I told her later on the night that she has to. Because she's just like, well, how do you move? And I'm like, with W, you go forward with W, D back, not D, S backwards, and A for left and D for... She's like, well, that's very weird. I'm like, no, Mom, that's computer gaming. I'm like, I used to do that back in my WoW days. She's like, oh, wow. And that was the end of that conversation.
Good.
But I'm very excited that Steam has come to the Mac. I mean, I was looking through some of the other games that are available for that, and I think I might really fully invest in it.
Because so how does it work? Like, is there a monthly fee for it? What, just the games? Like, what
I believe all you do is you pay for the game. Like, okay. Steam was free. I didn't have to put my credit card in for it or nothing. And like I said, Porto was free, so I didn't have to pay for that. But all the other games that are available there all have price tags. And then when you buy them, it downloads onto your Steam account. And I think it's pretty much stays on your Steam account, and then you can just access it through your Steam. So I think part of it goes to your computer.
Okay.
Your hard drive. I mean, I think I have a shortcut to Portal straight, you know, onto the hard drive. So, I mean, I think you can opt to do it either way. So you can play it through the website, or if you want to have a shortcut to it on your hard drive, you can.
Okay.
And you play it like you'd play any other, you know, computer game, you know. And Portal looks great on Mama Mac, so I'm actually kind of glad that my Mackie couldn't do it, because now I get to play on a bigger screen. But I mean, they had Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 up there. I mean, they had a lot of common games. So I mean, if there's ever a time that I can't decide whether I want to get a game for my PS3 or my 360, I might just, if it's available for, you know, download on Steam, I might just pick it up for the computer and be done with my decision.
You mean pick it up for Mom's computer?
Well, yeah, more or less. Yeah, but I thoroughly enjoyed being back on a computer. I mean, the last time I was playing computer games was during those addictive phases, and I mean, I didn't have a problem going into Portal, playing for 2 hours, and logging out. Like, there was no addictive quality that made me say I need to beat this in 6 hours.
And if you're the type of person that you have that thought with Portal, you're a sick individual.
Especially because I think there's only like 10 hours in the game. So, I mean,
depending on it, whether or not you get through the Terminal Velocity puzzle fast or not. I fucking hate that puzzle, by the way.
Right now, I'm in a room where I need to get the little photon ball thing to go through a part of the wall and go pointing down to this other thing, but there's these two force field things. So when I go in between the force fields, it like negates the portals. Whatever portal I have outside of the fields, which I hate. I hate it. I do. And I'm sitting there going, what the fuck is this? I'm like, two force fields, motherfucker. How am I supposed to fucking do this? Like, what is this shit? What is it?
Two portals?
Like, no, like, there are two, you know, like, those little stasis fields that you have to go through when you're going up the elevators?
Yes.
There's a room where you go in, and there's it's like let's say there are four boxes for the room. 1, 2, 3, 4. And boxes 1 and 2 are split by a stasis field, and 3, 4 are also split by a stasis field. And the photon ball shoots out from 1 through the force, the face, you know, the field to a wall. And the other thing that the photon ball would go into to, like, unlock the door or release the cube or whatever is in 4, but it's covered by that stasis field. So when I walk through it, it negates whatever portal I have on the outside. So I'm like, what the fuck do I do? And I'm sitting there, and I'm, you know, and I was going to ask Eshmom, but I'm like, Eshmom won't know.
No, you should ask Eshmom.
You know what? I should.
You should.
And she'd be like, quit the game. That's what I would do.
Yep, that's what I do. Fuck them.
Fuck them. Anyway, so yeah, I was having a great time with that. Something else going on for me as of late, well, one, graduation's coming, and I got my first graduation gift a couple of days ago. A close friend of mine went and got me My Neighbor Totoro and The Cat Returns.
Ooh, good movies.
I know. So, I mean, I'm not too anxious to watch Totoro just yet because I've seen it fairly recently. But I've been talking about The Cat Returns for quite some time after I saw it a couple of years ago. And I'm like, man, Hayao really knows what he's doing. And believe it or not, I'm wrong when I say that because Hayao Miyazaki did not direct The Cat Returns. Yes, which I was very surprised because I actually really thought that he did. It's true, it did come from Studio Ghibli. But believe it or not, there is actually like a special feature on the DVD that actually shows Hayao Miyazaki and the other guy that he often gets mistaken for, which is Isao Takahata.
Uh-huh.
Who, if you've seen Grave of the Fireflies.
Yes.
He directed that.
Yes.
And you can actually kind of see a different direction style between both of them. So, I mean, if you're a big Miyazaki fan, then you'd know right away that Grave of the Fireflies was not directed by him. But, you know, in the special DVD, you know, little special feature, it's like this interview with, you know, Hayao Miyazaki. And he's pretty much saying, you know, he's like, me and Takahata, you know, we're not spring chickens anymore. You know, and we're trying to develop younger directors for Studio, you know, Ghibli. So that when we decide that we want to walk away, that we know that Ghibli is in capable hands.
Right.
And so what had happened was... apparently, Disney... I think there's a Disney Japan.
Yes. Isn't
there like a, yes. Mm-hmm. And Disney Japan wanted Studio Ghibli to make this small cartoon for this attraction over there. And I don't know if you've seen Whisper of the Heart or not, which I think also came out of Studio Ghibli.
I haven't.
I think it has a lot of help from Studio Ghibli. And so when they got the bid for it, Hayao was like, well, let's go outside of our box to see if we can, you know, find someone, you know, else to help us out with this. And there was this other lady whose name I can't pronounce to save my life. And she actually came up with the story for Whisper of the Heart. And, you know, there's a young girl, and she finds herself at this antique shop where she sees this cat figurine. And there's also this other fat cat somewhere. And, I mean, it was just a small event. It was only like a 10-minute movie. Like, it was a very short, you know.
A featurette. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, you know, so that went off really well, and it was very cute, and they left it alone. And, you know, the cat project, which is what they were calling it, they were just like, you know, we think we have something here with, you know, Whisper of the Heart and these characters. So, you know, they wanted to make sure that they had the rights to use these characters in this movie. And this lady was like, yeah, sure, totally. Obviously more Japan-y. It'd be great honor. It'd be very honorful for...
Careful.
it would be great if you used my material. Legally.
Yeah.
And,
With the legalness.
And so they were trying to find anyone who'd be willing to take on, you know, I think they were just taking it on as like a small challenge just to see if anyone had the talent to direct. And people were submitting those like storyboards. And this one guy who I believe his name is Hiroyuki Morita.
Hiroyuki.
Yep, Hiroyuki Morita. He had submitted, you're only supposed to submit so many, and he turned in like 270 storyboards. So they're just like, and as they were going through them, they're like, oh my God, he went so above and beyond what I think he won it, but that's not the point, because Miyazaki was like, I think we need to do something with this. This is really good. You know, and they had surprised Morita with the idea. Well, they shouldn't say they surprised him. They ambushed him They brought him to a very nice restaurant.
Okay.
You know, and had him, you know, filled up and relaxed. And then at the end of the whole night, you know, Hayao Miyazaki was kind of like, you're going to direct this. We're going to make this a featured film. And he was kind of like, what? You know, like, big pressure. So actually, The Cat Returns is not directed by Hayao Miyazaki. So, Hayao Miyazaki-san, it's actually done by Morita-san. And the American Disney adaptation has voices from Anne Hathaway and Carrie Elweis.
Oh, I love Carrie Elweis. And, so
and Peter Boyle.
Oh, Peter Boyle's
from Everyone Loves Raymond's father.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's another guy, Elliot Gould.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
He played the crow Toto. So if you don't know anything about The Cat Returns, it's, believe it or not, I'm very surprised because the main character, yes, she's female, but she's over the age of 15.
What?
Yes. And no. Haru, the main protagonist in the story, is 17 years old.
No.
Yes. And she doesn't look like a little girl. I mean,
what?
She does look
yes.
Like, yes. So she.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yeah.
You can't do that in an anime. Everybody has to be jailbait.
Everyone has to look like jailbait, regardless. But I mean, Haru is that girl next door. You know, she's kind of awkward in her own way. You know, not fully developed in her spirit. She's easily swayed by other people. In the terms of you know, like she's walking down the street with her best friend, and she's kind of got this crush on this guy, which makes sense. She's 17 and in high school in Japan, and her friend's like, "You should totally ask him out." And she's like, "What if he has a girlfriend? I'll come off like a total jerk." And she's like, "Well, he does have a girlfriend, and she's a freshman." And then she's, you know, I was like, "Well, why would you want me to flirt with him if you knew he had a girlfriend?" She's like, "I just want to see you get your heart broken." And I'm kind of like,
"Bitch."
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, she's willing, you know, she doesn't know where her place is. She's very undefined, which is that stage of, you know, teenagehood that, you know, we all go through. We think we're one thing, and then we find out that we're another thing, and then 2 weeks later, we're different from the thing that we thought we were.
And you wind up being a lesbian. What? But what? Only for a week.
What? Yeah, well.
anyway.
Anyway, so, and what happens is she's walking with a friend in that same occasion, and this beautiful grayish cat is holding this present, and it's walking across the street. And her friend's like, "Stupid cat, you know, that light's going to turn green, and he'll be like a pancake." And Haru's like, this doesn't look good. We should do something. And of course, the truck begins to move, and the cat drops the box, and he can't pick the box up because he's got paws instead of hands. And, you know, he's about to get hit by this car, and Haru grabs a lacrosse stick, which should have been a great sign that she might play for the other team.
Lesbian.
Maybe. And she takes the lacrosse stick, and she runs across the street, and she scoops up the cat in the present just before this cat gets hit. And she amazingly doesn't get hurt herself.
Amazing.
Yeah. Her stick snaps, and she falls into this bush, and she's kind of like, oh, I hope
she falls into the bush.
And she does.
Isn't
she
that always the story? I was playing with a stick, and I fell into the bush, and...
Ew. What? Let me get through the story.
What?
But anyway, so she goes to check on the cat, and the cat is standing on two paws, like its back paws, like standing up like a person. And all of a sudden, he's just like, that was a grand act of bravery. So she's kind of like,
cat talked.
Cat's talking to me. And he's like, I really hate to be rude, but, you know, I'm kind of on a mission. I'll come back later and thank you properly. And he bows. And he takes his present, and he bounces. You know, and her friend, you know, the friend who finally manages to come across the street is kind of like, are you okay? And she's like, the cat was talking to me. I'm freaking out right now. I have no idea what just happened. But anyway, so news gets back to the Cat Kingdom that, you know, the prince was saved by this girl.
Wait. Cat Kingdom?
Yes, there's a kingdom of cats.
Is it called Lolotopia?
No, it's just the Cat Kingdom.
Damn.
And the king hears of her bravery, and he wants to thank her. So in the middle of the night, he takes this huge, think Aladdin, Prince Ali, but with cats. So like, there's this huge procession of cats, and they've got like chimes and bells, and the neighborhood cats are all like, oh, fuck no. Like, it's really actually funny because the cats from the Cat Kingdom can speak. They speak like humans speak. And the cats that are like out in Tokyo, like they all just kind of meow and hiss, like they don't actually speak. so you can see a difference in level of cat. And they come to thank her, and they give her the scroll, and they're like, we're going to shower with all these great presents that come from our kingdom, because you saved our beloved Prince Loon, because that's his name.
Okay, Loony Cat, got it.
Mm-hmm. And the Cat King is played by Tim Curry.
Oh, I love Tim Curry.
Yes. It's actually funny, because the Cat King actually comes off kind of like a hippie, and in the actual Japanese adaptation, no, the king actually says babe a lot, which is really kind of funny. So, you know, you've got an older Tim Curry who's like, what's up, babe? Thanks for saving my son, babe. I'm going to go now, babe. You know, and he's very, very chilled and very relaxed. But, you know, all these presents start, you know, showing up at Haru's house. All these cattails, which are what are those flowers that when you blow on them, all the little thingies?
Daffodils?
Yeah. Or like the
dandelions. Sorry.
Yes. Yeah. So like to some people, cattails are kind of like dandelions. So they're like weeds, you know, and she's like allergic to them. So she's sneezing and like her locker is filled with like Tiffany boxes full of live mice. They cover her clothes in catnip. So she gets chased by cats to school. Oh. So like these presents would be great in the cat kingdom, but not in, you know, the human world. So think an outcast from the beginning, now make her a crazy cat lady outcast. So things aren't going very well in her human world. And I can't think what his name is. If you've seen the Ballad of Ricky Bobby, yes. Not Sacha Baron Cohen, but his lover in that movie, the blonde guy who's got like a high-pitched voice and sounds kind of like a kiss ass.
I don't remember the Ballad of Ricky Bobby that book.
All right, well, if you did, he plays the lackey to the king, and he's the one who's bringing all the presents to Haru. And he's just like, so none of these presents are working. And she's like, well, I am human. And he goes, well, the king has one other gift that he'd love to give you. It's like, it's the treasure of our kingdom. And she's kind of like, what is it? She's like, you know, we're going to take you to the kingdom of cats, and you're going to marry a son. And she's kind of like, what? I don't want to do that. I'm only 17, and I'm human. And he's like, too late. We're going to collect you later on tonight. No, so she's kind of freaking out because she's going to get catnapped.
Oh, God.
And this mysterious voice is like, you need to go to the Cat Bureau. Go down to the crossing and look for a very big white cat. He will take you there. And so she goes there and she finds the cat. And this is Peter Doyle's character. So think the father from Everyone Loves Raymond.
Mm-hmm.
So he's very angry and, you know.
He sounds like a grumpy old man.
Yeah. It is this big, old, grumpy white cat, you know, and she's, you know, she sits on him, actually, because he blends into the chair that she sits on, so she doesn't realize that she sits on him, and he's kind of upset, and she's like, are you the cat that takes people to the Cat Bureau? And he's kind of looking at her like, don't fucking touch me, and he's like, follow me. So, like, he leads her like a cat would, like, they're jumping on buildings and everything. I mean, he went up above and beyond to give you the feeling that this was a journey that a cat would take, and, they go to the Cat Bureau, which is where Toto, the crow, who's actually a stone statue, comes to life at, you know, when the sun goes down. And so does the Baron, who's played by Carrie Yu.
Always.
Mm-hmm. You know, and he explains that, you know, the reason why they can come to life is when a creator makes something with his whole heart, it gives that creation a soul. So he was created with so much love and passion that he was given a soul. And the same thing with Toto. And Toto and Muta, which is the white cat, don't get along very well, which makes sense. He's a bird and he's a cat. And the Baron has a cat face and a cat tail, but has fingers and feet. But he's very dapper and he's very, you know, sophisticated. And God, I squeezed throughout the whole movie. But she ends up getting abducted, so they have to go to the Cat Kingdom to save her. And while she's in the Cat Kingdom, she starts becoming a cat because she's not fully aware of herself. Like, the big essence of the story is you need to believe in who you are, because if you don't, you can be, well, granted, you can become anything, but you'll lose yourself.
Okay.
So they really want you to be fully grounded in you. I mean, you can do anything in the world, but don't allow yourself to shift into something that you're not.
Okay.
So because she was unsure about being human and everything wasn't going well, she's kind of like, well, maybe being a cat wouldn't be so bad. And she was slipping into this consciousness of not wanting to be her. which is what the story is about. So, you know, by the end of it, she comes to realize that she likes being her, and she doesn't like people telling her who she should be. Like, she doesn't like that her friend's like, you should be outgoing and just tell them how you feel, even though you're not gonna succeed. You know, she wants to be herself, and she needs to figure out who that is, and she needs to be comfortable with who that may be. And by the end of the movie, she does. And she actually kind of falls in love with the Baron. And frankly, I don't blame Anne Hathaway's character because, I mean, he's just so dashing. I mean, I've never had a furry complex before, but...
Oh, my God. Don't admit to it now.
I'm not... I'm just saying. If Cat... Well, I mean, he's even a furry.
Let it go.
He's not even an animal. But regardless. I mean, the story is just amazing. I love these personal discovery stories. And you happen to find a lot of them in Studio Ghibli, which I like. I really do. I enjoy it immensely. And I'm so glad that Studio Disney saw how beautiful these films are and said, we want to throw money at them. I wish I had enough money that I could do that with Studio Ghibli, because I would.
Are you alright?
Yeah. So I was watching that. Played some games. I don't think that's really kind of about it for me in terms of what I've been doing. So if you haven't seen The Cat Returns or My Neighbor Totoro, which is also a very good, that one was directed by, I think that was Takahata, or it might have been Miyazaki. No, I think it was Miyazaki. I'm sorry. So if you haven't seen Totoro and you haven't seen The Cat Returns, I would watch them. And so, depending on your mood, like if you really want to deal with the Fanning sisters, you know, Dakota Fanning and her sister, because sadly when Totoro came over here, the original Fox dub actually had better voice actors for it. But then Disney was like, well, let's get some no names on here. So they got two sisters and they got the Fanning sisters. They're not bad, but I like the original dubbed voices over these guys. And depending on your mood, if you want a sister family bonding movie, go for Totoro first. And if you're a girl or a guy who needs some sophistication in your life,
you know, talking cats,
then you can check out The Cat Returns. You won't be disappointed.
Because it's got talking cats. Cats that talk.
Oh, I didn't even say the really funny part.
Well, good. Don't.
Several. No, it's actually when the procession's happening later on earlier in the movie. I told you they come to thank her.
Mm-hmm.
Like as the neighborhood cats are attacking the line, they have these CSI cats, and they're cats. They're standing up. They look a little bulky, and they're black and white. Like their whole bodies are like black, and then like they have like a mat. Like they look like they're CSI. Not CSI, CIA. I'm sorry. So they're like CIA.
You watch too much CBS.
I do. But they look like CAI. So,
CIA.
Yeah, that name. The Secret Service guys. And as the neighborhood cats are coming, the Secret Service cats are like kicking their asses and then they touch their paws to their ears like they have communicators. Like, I got this one down. Bogey on your left. I love it. But I'm done now.
Talking cats.
I love it.
You know, I don't know if I can deal with a cartoon that has talking pussy in it. That might be a little bit too much for me.
There's nothing wrong with talking pussy.
I would have to disagree.
I don't have an issue with
Well, you're just special.
Garfield was a talking pussy.
I do. I don't like Garfield or Heathcliff.
Did you like Danger Mouse?
I fucking love Danger Mouse.
He was a mouse. Talking mice. Do you have a problem with talking mice?
Oh, I don't have a problem with talking mice. I love Danger Mouse.
Danger Mouse. Anyway.
Danger Mouse.
That's all I have to say for the people. Hayao Miyazaki, Morita, and Takahata. Awesome from Studio Ghibli. The end.
Ghibli! Well, then I guess it's my turn with the Mic of a Thousand Truths.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so let's jump into it. First thing I want to say, and I'm not even going to use a lot of facts to back it up. You can just trust me on this one. Just Cause 2 just sucks so much. don't spend your money on it. It's barely worth a rental. I'm so disappointed. Mostly because after playing games like Splinter Cell Conviction and playing games like Modern Warfare 2, it just doesn't hold up. I mean, even for me.
It does not hold a candle?
It doesn't. I mean, it's not as easy to maneuver to shoot people. The AI really is quite dumb on anything under the normal difficulty. And even sometimes on the normal difficulty, because I have two games going, one on normal, one on easy. Just because when I was playing easy, it was so easy. I was like, you know what? Maybe I just need to step this up. Because as I've said before, usually when I play through a game, if I'm trying to do it for a review, I'll play it on the easy difficulty so I can blow through the game and get all the major elements. And then later I'll go back slower and play it on normal or play it on hard and really get my gameplay on. But I put it on the casual gamer, casual shooter level first and started playing it. And the mechanics are so difficult. Have you ever played Just Cause before?
No.
Okay, so the premise of the game is very much like Uncharted in that you are a character in the third person. And you are presented on levels where you have to do a little bit of puzzle solving. There are enemies you have to shoot.
Okay.
You can shoot in first person or in third person. There are weapons caches all over the place and health packs and things like that. You have the ability to take advantage of various different weapons that you can pick up. You can pick up the enemy's weapons. You also have a grappling hook that you can use so you can actually leverage yourself on buildings or on vehicles to take out your enemies. But to give you an idea of why I say this thing is barely worth rental at best is even on the normal difficulty, let's say that you're playing a level and there are four enemies that are coming at you. They will all take positions and they'll try to flank you. So they will start approaching you, which is interesting because you really do have to take advantage of your environment. But if I have a guy on my right that's behind a barrier and I shoot him, the guy that's immediately to his left will then move to the exact position he was in and sit there.
So you could just keep shooting the same place because they'll all go there?
Because they'll all eventually go there. Like, really? Because this is kind of ludicrous. And I thought that it was only happening maybe because I was on the casual difficulty.
No.
So I went back and I started a normal game. Now they did the same thing.
Okay.
So I was like, well, this is going to be really easy because I just need to take out the guys on the right and the left because two more guys will take their spots. Then when I take them out, two more guys will take them their spots until I'm left with the last guy standing because he won't move from where he's at.
Wow.
He'll just sit there and take it like a bitch.
Does he take it well?
No, he doesn't. I mean, you know me. You know how bad I am at these types of games. On the normal difficulty, into the first, right up to the end of the first level, I had 35 headshots.
Wow.
And you know I suck at these types of games.
Yeah, I know. Which is why
I had 35 headshots. Because they all just stand there and take it. Wow. It's like, wow, there's no difficulty here. The only difficulty in the game is figuring out how you need to get from building to building sometimes because it's not really clear. You know, one of the mechanics of the game is that you have a parachute on you, I guess, at all times.
So you could just jump off of buildings and parachute.
A parachute, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Then you have a grappling hook. So, like, there's the second level in, it's a building that kind of looks like the hotel in Kuala Lumpur. And they're like, oh, my God, they've set, like, breach charges. We need to get up there and turn them off. And you're like, okay, I see the door. How do I get in the building? And then they're like, oh, you know what would be cool? You could use your grappling hooks and just go up the building. I'm like, oh, please tell me that you're joking.
Really?
No, 5 minutes later, it's like, poof, fire grapple. Okay, okay, look up. Poof, fire grapple. Okay, look up. Poof, fire, you know, for that. Oh, God, don't miss a piece of the building. Because then you just fall and fall and fall and fall and fall and fall. And mind you, I fell twice.
A lot.
Not a lot, but I fell twice off this building. I never died.
What?
Okay, I must have fallen 115 feet. I just took it.
Like,
okay, I'll try it again. And grapple up, and look up and shoot, and up and up and up and up. Yeah, that was fun. So I finally made it to the tops of the buildings. I took out the little grappling thing, and they're like, oh, there's a helicopter. You need to take him out. And I'm like, bitch, all I got is a little handgun. How am I supposed to take out the
helicopter? Grapple onto the helicopter and shoot them?
You grapple. First, you shoot one guy out of the helicopter. Then the helicopter will get close enough that you can grapple onto the helicopter. And it's like, okay, hit Y so you can get on the top and get in it. So I hit Y, and my guy jumps on top of the helicopter, and then he just jumps off again.
What?
I hit Y and he like jumps off. And evidently I was like one pixel to the right of where I needed to be. So he wouldn't plant firmly. So he just kept falling off and hanging off the helicopter. So yeah. I had to parachute off the helicopter, grapple back again. Up the building, grapple onto. I was just like, oh, this is just tedious.
Wow.
Finally got through the mission. They're like, all right, we'll give you 10 gamer score for that. I was like, oh, fuck you.
I deserve more than 10.
Yeah, this is going back to GameStop. So, just so that you know, Just Cause 2, just not worth it. Especially if you've had any fun at all playing Splinter Cell Conviction or Modern Warfare, you will be really, really frustrated. The story, the voice acting, it's not on the same level as the other games. Especially if you've recently played Uncharted, you'll just be like, fuck this, I'm going back to Nathan. I actually kind of felt like I was cheating on Nathan a little bit.
Hmm.
Like, this guy's not even remotely as good as you are, Nathan. I'm sorry. At least Sam Fisher is just as badass, if not more so, than Nathan Drake.
Yeah, but what I don't get is, why weren't you feeling like you were cheating on you know, him with Sam Fisher, especially if...
Because I've played Splinter Cell games before Uncharted existed.
Okay.
So if anything...
So that, you were cheating on Sam Fisher with
Nathan Drake.
Nathan Drake, yes.
But then I learned my lesson, and now I've gone back to my main man. Until the next Uncharted game comes out.
And then you'll disappear.
I might disappear for a little while. But I totally love you, baby. Sam, it meant nothing to me. Nothing.
Oh, with those Fiji trained hands of gripness. Oh, I bet it meant something.
It meant nothing to me, Sam. It meant nothing. You're my future. He's my past. Anyway.
Until he comes back.
Until he comes back.
Like herpes.
No. Ew. Yep. So anyway, don't waste your money. It's barely worth a rental. It barely. Like, just don't do it. Just don't do it. Okay.
Don't do it.
Next thing. Okay. E3's around the corner, people. We're going to start our E3 run-up coverage, even though some people aren't going to be able to go.
Yep.
Because the real
world... Where's my gin?
Pool boy, my gin. Fetch it. Couple things I want to talk about. Microsoft has announced some of the things going on or going to be happening around their presser, including Cirque du Soleil is making a special performance.
Why don't they just fuck me with a flamethrower?
Stop it. You can't help
me. Let me plant some dynamite in my rectal cavity.
To do the world premiere of Project Natal. Which,
boom!
Stop it. No boom in your coochie-cooch.
It's not my coochie-cooch. It'd be my
oh. I would totally mean your oh if it was a flamethrower. Anyway, so I'm looking forward to that. Even though I haven't yet gotten an invitation for the presser, I'm hoping that those start going out really soon so I can get one, so I can make my plans for it. But I really want to go to it, mostly because I'm really interested in actually seeing how well Natal really works and how it goes over in a group made up of not just industry people, but also, you know, publishers like ourselves. Because, I you know, most of the hype that's been going on about Natal has been, okay, we've seen what Microsoft says that it can do, and we've seen what they think is going to be what it can do. But once it gets in the hands of people, you know, I think it'd kind of be like the iPad. I think that right now, because there's no clearly defined other instance of something like it. Nobody really knows what it's going to really be and how it's really going to be used. But seeing as how it's going to be released in October, I think that Microsoft, by, or at least I hope, by E3 will have a better idea of how to pitch it, how to market it, how to position it, and will have on hand, hands-on demos. I think that that'll be the thing that sells Natal. You know, because the playing dress-up thing that they keep showing in the little trailers doesn't interest me at all.
Nope. Because okay. if I really wanted to play dress-up, I would put on 80s music and have a montage in my bedroom.
Exactly. I play dress-up all on my own using my multiple closets. I'm good. I don't need to do it virtually. But what would be really interesting to me with Natal is, you know, doing things like a Jedi game.
Ooh.
Okay. Taking advantage of full motion stuff. Okay. I'm not really interested in video chatting through my Xbox. I'm perfectly happy with my
Yeah, because why would you want to video chat through your Xbox when you can kind of do it right now and everyone who does it just shows their penis?
Exactly. I'm just, that doesn't
That's what true. That's what chat roulette is for. Penis, penis, penis.
But I think, and
guy whacking off.
Guy whacking off. Penis, penis.
Guy whacking off.
Guy whacking
off. Hey, look! A person!
Oh, he's nope. Jacking off. Yeah, he's jacking off. Okay. So anyway, I think that Natal will definitely be interesting when you pair it with sports games. And it may be the only way that you'll get me to actually enjoy and play a sports game. Okay? Because I find sports games to be tedious. But I love playing the baseball and the bowling games on my Wii, but I wish that they had a little bit more depth to them. So I think that Natal will be a great pairing for those types of games. And I'm interested to see if that's a tact that they take or not.
Okay.
So that's one of the things that I'm really looking forward to. Last year they announced the Beatles Rock Band game, and Paul McCartney and Ringo Starr were there, and Yoko Ono was there. Harmonix is going to be at E3 again. They got to talk about something. They sure as hell aren't going to be pimping just Rock Band Green Day. I'm hoping, oh, I hope so big, that they announce Rock Band 3. Because I really want them to announce that. I want to see a demo. I want to get a hands-on demo. But
she wants to touch it and she wants to put it in her mouth.
But it's town. I do want to savor the flavor. I'm not gonna lie. I love Harmonix. You gonna say you don't?
No, I do. But
I mean, come on. Rock Band 1 was great. Rock Band 2,
even better.
Even better. Beatles Rock Band, holy hell, way too much fun. We've even gotten Ash Mom in on the Beatles Rock Band playing. I mean, come on.
That is true.
Okay, Harmonix. They're just knocking them all out of the park. So I can't imagine what the next level of Rock Band could be, but I think that it'll be on hand for E3. So I'm really excited about that. I hope that it is. I hope that the announcement happens during the Xbox, the Microsoft presentation, just because I don't think that it'll happen at the Nintendo one. I have yet to see Harmonix show up in any form at any Nintendo event. What surprises me, though, is that Nintendo's event is 2 hours long.
Only two?
Yeah, originally it was only supposed to be like an hour or so long, but it's now 2 hours long, which made Sony push their event back, because I got an email from them earlier this week saying, yep, we're not going at 11 now, we're going at 12.
Oh, wow, okay.
But it is going to be at the Shrine Theater again. And I'm really curious to see how much everyone learned from their presser last year. Because it seemed definitely that the Microsoft presser and the Sony presser were designed to tantalize the audience. Okay? They knew that their shit was going to be broadcast on TV at some point because they put on shows. Mm-hmm. And Microsoft has always put on a good show at their E3 pressers when they were doing them. Sony's been kind of hit and miss, but they definitely put on shows. And Nintendo, it was like they were having a fiscal quarterly meeting.
With pitchers.
I hope that they learned and that people practice reading from the teleprompter so that they don't come off stale when they make a joke. Laugh now. Yeah, like that. So we'll have all kinds of E3 coverage for you. Even those of us who are not actually going to be in LA are going to have coverage for you. There'll be pictures. There'll be stuff up on the interwebs.
Yeah, she'll see me tie a noose and hang it to my ceiling.
Oh, you won't.
Maybe and I'll have a spotting partner because, you know, for that type of stuff, you should have someone spotting
Stop
you.
Stop it. No can has hang yourself. Okay. Next up, I got to talk about my new favorite app on the iPad. Because you didn't think I was going to go a whole 2 weeks without talking about the iPad, did you? Okay, so I've been really kind of gearing up my iPad to be the ultimate nerve center for coverage while I'm at E3. I am not taking a laptop with me to LA. This is going to be totally iPhone, iPad, Nikon D60 coverage, people. This is what we're doing. This is the wave of the future. Ride it with me. So my new favorite slew of applications for anybody trying to get work done and you want to use an iPad, here's my breakdown of what you need. You got your pen and your pencil ready?
Yep.
I'll wait.
No, I got it.
You got it? Okay. First thing you need, Dropbox.
I have a Dropbox.
I fracking love Dropbox. Dropbox exists for Linux, for the Mac, for PC, for iPhone, for iPad. I'm pretty sure it doesn't exist for those nuts, but I'm pretty sure it does exist for Android. So there's no device that any person of the internet age that Dropbox is not available for. And what Dropbox allows you to do is basically take files. The free version gives you up to like 2 gigs of storage. Put them and make them available basically on the cloud. You put it up in the internets. And then you can get to those files from any other device that can access your Dropbox. So like if I have a big honking file that I need to send over to Panda, rather than figuring out a way to either put it up on the FTP server so she can break it down because we have a website, or break it up into little files and then send it through the email, I can just immediately say, hey, bam, dragged it to my Dropbox. Bitch, get to the Dropbox and get what I dropped in the box. Once you got it, I can take it out.
Yep.
So this is going to allow me to take a lot of audio that I record on the iPhone and instantly put it up on the web. It's going to allow me to send things back and forth to people to edit and move PDFs around, things like that. I won't have to mail myself things all the time. Dropbox. If you're going to be mobile and work, you need to have it. So that's one app. Two. Obviously, you need something, especially if you're a blogger, so you can get into your blog and you can write your blogs, you can write your posts, you can do your website. I love the WordPress app. So if you have a WordPress site, you need the WordPress app. There, it's really simple. You can manage your comments, you can put posts up, you can schedule them, and it now actually works the way it's supposed to because they've updated a few things. It works like a charm. So you gotta have that. You have to. Instapaper. Holy crap. If you don't have Instapaper, whether you have an iPad or not, Instapaper, as in Instapaper.
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 Instagangstapaper.
Okay. And what Instapaper lets you do is run through the web and basically bookmark a bunch of content that you want to read. Okay. Instantly, without, you know, having to go in and actually manage your bookmarks. They will all be in the cloud, such that you can later go back to them on or offline and read that content. because Instapaper exists on the iPad, I can mark a bunch of things that I'm looking for either in my browser on the iPad or when I'm at a computer later on, stuff that I want to read later, get to it on my iPad so I can bring up, you know, links that I want to reference, websites I want to reference. I've got that content all there. And it's just a quick tap, ooh, copy, tap, ooh, paste. Yeah, that's awesome. Right there. Workflow. So those are my top three applications you really, really need to have if you're going to be mobile working.
Okay.
In the cloud. On your iPad.
Hmm.
If you're going to be writing, just be, don't be a bitch. Get Pages. I know it's $9.99. Oh my God, it's not going to break your bank. Buy it. You'll be so happy that you can actually put a real document together.
Okay. I trust you.
The last thing that I have, which most of you are going to be like, she's talking about what? Wait, what? I have an anime that I've been watching.
What? What?
Yeah, that's right. I'm all up in it. I'm in your animes watching your lesbians.
Hey, they're not all lesbians.
This one is.
What is a few in lesbian anime?
There's a lot of it that's being put on the on-demand right now. What do you want me to do? You know, between Maria watches over us as we're getting naked. I mean, that's pretty much what it should be called. Between that and, like, all the stuff that's on the Super Happy Fun Time group. I mean, yeah. It's pretty much just boobs, 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 boobs. Girls that like boobs. Boys that like boobs. Boobs, boobs, boobs. Just in case you didn't catch it, I was talking about
boobs. Oh, boy.
Anyway, the anime that I want to talk about is called Maria Holic. And the way that it looks on the screen, it's Maria X Holic, which it basically is Maria Cross Holic.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a manga originally. Okay, so here's the premise of Maria Holic. The main character is named Kaneko, and she's in the second year of high school.
She's a sophomore, yes. Yeah.
Okay, and she's transferred into this new school called Ame no Kiseki, or Kiseki, how you ever want.
Kiseki.
Kiseki, okay. It is a Catholic all-girls school.
Oh, God.
Okay.
Oh, God, literally.
Okay, and she goes to this school specifically looking to find her partner. She's looking for a woman.
Ave Maria.
Okay, she a lesbian. I'm not making this up. She like the ladies. Like, in all of the harem-type animes that you watched before, in, you know, the guy would be completely gaga over girls and get the nosebleeds and pass out and do the wobbly wobbly
half. Oh, God, yes.
She does that. She chronically gets nosebleeds. Like, there was one episode where she was all excited to be going to help the health nurse do inspections.
Because
I guess,
God,
they do physicals.
Yes, they do physicals. There's always an episode in any anime that's in the school where the boys are trying to spy on the inspection so that they know how big the girls' boobies are getting.
Yes, well, since this is an all-girls school, only Kaneko is interested in that. And she literally, she's like, there's this whole montage where she's like, I'm beefing up and I'm eating more iron so that, you know, I won't bleed out and I can actually take advantage and I can watch. And so she's literally in the nurse's office and everyone's starting to disrobe and she's like, black and lacy, and literally like spouts a fountain out of both of her nostrils and passes out. I'm just like, oh God, okay, here we go. But I keep hanging in there because it's not your typical harem at all. I mean, one, the protagonist is a girl who's just blatantly out for a girl.
She's out for pussy.
She's on the hunt
for pussy.
The nooners. Okay. But being a Catholic you know, school. She's got to take exams to get in and all that kind of stuff. She passes them.
And
she
she's smart for the noonie.
And she is. And she's genuinely sweet in, you know, how she wants a prayer. Her mother has passed away and she promised that she would never be alone. So she offers up these prayers all the time, you know, to her mother in heaven, you know, helping to look out for her. And she, every show ends with her setting up a prayer to her mom and letting her know that she's not going to let her down or give up. And I mean, those moments are really sweet. But to balance it all off, her first day going to school, she meets this really, really, I mean, gorgeously drawn female named Maria.
Right.
Okay. Maria Shidu. And Maria has a maid, and they're talking and they're joking and things like that. And Maria touches Kaneko's arm, and Kaneko, like, immediately breaks out in hives. But she's, like, in lust with Maria, so she doesn't make a big deal about it. And then she has a hand thought. I was like, wow, it's weird that I'm breaking out like that, because, you know, I normally don't do that unless I get touched by a boy. Because she has literally a allergic reaction to boys.
What?
Yeah, she breaks out in hives.
So this Maria is
a boy. Yes.
And she's in lust for her.
Until, like, literally Maria outs himself
as a dude.
Yes.
And why is he dressing up like a girl?
Okay, so if it wasn't weird enough, here's where Maria Hollick, like, literally just goes and takes, like, bangs a
U-hand. A totally different direction.
Yeah, it bangs a U-hand. It's like, we're going to go back. We're going to go way back.
Okay.
So, Maria has a twin sister, which you don't
find... Has or had?
Has. Which you don't find out until, like, later in the series, named Shizu. Okay? But the basic premise is, Maria's grandmother, who used to be the president of the school, passed away.
Okay.
And left in the will that the person that would inherit the great family wealth and preside over both Ame no Kiseki and I can't remember what the name of it is, but there's also a quote-unquote sister school, which is actually an all-boys school, to Ame no Kiseki. I'm trying to remember what it's called, but I can't.
Boys Who Don't Read Good.
Yes, Academy. Sports You Don't Read Good Academy. Anyway. The grandmother basically put in her will that the person that could go to the school of their opposite sex and graduate without being
discovered
would inherit.
So his twin sister is a dude at the dude school.
Right. And Maria is a chick at
the chick school.
At the chick school. So the moment that somebody discovers that one of them is not the sex,
like the others,
being, then they lose. Okay. And so when the physicals came about, they ended up swapping places so that neither of them would fail to pass physical.
Wait, are they identical twins?
They're identical.
Okay, except one's got a penis. And
one actually really has a penis, but is pretending not to have the penis.
Right.
And one doesn't have a penis.
Oh,
but it's pretending to have a penis. That,
so does the main character actually meet with the twin sister on that physical day?
Yes.
Okay.
Because she's like, ha ha, finally Mario's going to be figured out. Because see, the deal was no enrolled student could find out.
Right.
So Maria outed himself, basically, to Kaneko before she was officially a student.
Right.
So she's the only one that knows the secret. So he, like, gets her original roommate booted out of their room, so he becomes her roommate, and he tortures her all the time. Like, he calls her a cow and a pig, and she's dirty and she's fat and all this kind of stuff. And he's really, really, really condescending and rude to her. Like, constantly. And
I tell on him.
But she doesn't, because he knows that she's a lesbian.
Right.
Because nobody else knows that she's a lesbian.
And no one else knows that he's a dude. So he's got a secret and she's got a secret.
Exactly.
Right.
And so that's where the comedy is supposed to ensue. But it's basically just a half hour of this chick, like, oogling and googling over girls and getting nosebleeds. And then Maria calling her something. And then she gets all upset. But then they end up helping each other by the end of the episode. And then they end up talking shit about each other at the end of the episode. And it's just so weird to have that kind of dynamic.
And you thought my anime choice was weird.
That it's interesting.
At least mine has story.
Mine has like 16 different stories.
Yeah, but yours you just said is oogling boobies. Oh, you're fat. Oh, I'm upset. Oh, let's talk about it. Yay, I like you. Wait, you're fat.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. And then blood.
And then blood.
Because they're just boobies.
Oh.
Yeah. And then her mother in heaven. It's just so random.
Mommy, I promise I will never be alone. I will surround myself by pussy.
It's
Amen.
Like somebody got drunk and was watching Fooly Cooly and was like, dude, I want to make something like that, but about lesbians.
Who can I find who can draw?
Just like, that's what I feel like. And they didn't quite get the
the premise.
It's not quite wacky enough. Because let's face it, Fooly Cooly really doesn't make any real sense. The anime.
Yes.
Okay.
The anime does not.
The manga does. The anime does not.
Agreed. Okay.
And the anime was not designed to make
sense. No, it was just meant to be entertaining.
Okay.
Which it obviously was.
And it feels to me like somebody tried to set out and do that same thing with this series, and they just didn't quite get there. Because there's all kinds of little random things, and they try to bring them back and weave them in together, but they don't. So if you want something that's just weird, but funny, because it is funny.
With lots of titties.
There is boobs.
Get your titties and wings.
Now, they're not all exposed boobs.
Two for two.
It's about everybody covers their nipples. You know.
Good. So they don't follow the Janet Jackson principle of no
pants. They don't follow the Janet Jackson principle of here's my nipple and my nipple ring. Just in case you didn't see this big ass nipple.
I know, like the nipple wasn't enough. Like, yikes!
Nipple has a five mile radius, and just in case you can't see it, I'm gonna put a big silver star right through it.
Oh my god, the pain.
You know that stuff tore a little bit when...
Oh, I don't even want to... Okay, stop.
You know it, because it was a starburst, so you know it grabbed some of that shit.
I do not support breast mutilations.
You're not pierce your titty.
No.
If Dad wanted your titty pierced, he would...
It would have holes in it when you were born.
To begin with. You should not do that. You should just eat that alone.
Leave it alone.
But... I can't say that you should leave Maria Hollick alone. I would be curious to read the manga because I'm now, I think I'm like 12.
Be careful, you might turn into a lesbian.
No. Good. That's going to happen. Books don't turn you into lesbians, Birkenstocks do.
I have Birkenstocks, you asshole.
Well.
I have two pairs and they're very comfy on my feet.
Whoa.
What? Your mother has Birkenstocks too.
Well, have you seen her haircut lately? Anyway, what I'm
Mom
saying is,
does not like women.
No, nope,
I am telling.
But she has a very butch haircut. What I'm saying is, she doesn't listen to the show. It's fine. What I'm saying is, Maria Hollick. Definitely very weird. It tries to be avant-garde. It falls really
flat on its vagina.
Flag on the play on that. But if you want something that's just silly, because that's really what it is. It's just a silly series. The premise is silly. You know, they were trying to do a Prince and the Pauper type thing, and they just missed. If they just kind of made it a little more simple, I think it would have been a lot more enjoyable for me. But I would definitely say if you can find it streaming on the web, you won't be disappointed if you're just looking for something silly. It's not serious. It doesn't take itself serious. You should not take it serious, but it can definitely be, you know, 20 minutes of fun.
Don't worry. The Humpty key will fit in the Dumpty lock.
Oh, my God. Don't get me started on that shit. The
Humpty
key in the Dumpty lock.
I loved that series.
Oh, my God.
It was so cute.
Oh, my God.
I adored it. Anyway.
No, you can't have, you don't have eggs.
Yes, I have eggs.
No.
I have dreams.
You, all right. And I don't want to squash them, but I'm just saying. So, with that, I got to remind you guys, we have a lot of things that are going on in the land of Esh. Okay. There are more giveaways that are coming up, so make sure that you're hanging out on the social stuff, that you're visiting us on our website, www.electricsisterhood.com, or you can use our short address, which is
esh.mobi. That's esh.mobi. The short address will bounce to the long one, and you can check out any articles that have been written within the week. If you have any questions about those articles or just questions for us, you can email us at questions@esh.mobi. If you aren't listening to us on iTunes, you can subscribe.
Yes, do that. That way you can listen to every episode of our podcast ever in its entirety. And now with more Eshness.
And if you don't want to do that, then you can plug us into any RSS reader or any podcast search engine. You can also hear some great shows that are coming out of the ESH camp, too.
That's right. I mean, because we're growing. The fam is getting bigger. And not because one of us is pregnant. Because we're not. Don't start
That's
that rumor.
Right.
That would be a dirty, nasty lie.
And no preggers
here.
You would
be a dirty, nasty liar. But what we are doing is adding more shows to the family. Like Geek Aggro, which is co-hosted by our very own Deuces Wild. They have new episodes of their podcast that go out. You can listen to those guys Wednesdays. You can listen to the Boston Bass Brigade. Every Tuesday, they hit you with a new episode, which is co-hosted by our very own King Baby Duck and some of the other fam bastards and wenches out of that crew to give you a little other take on the nerdy stuff than what we deliver to you on Monday. So right there, we've got you taken care of for almost half of the freaking week. For the rest of the week, well, you know, you got the stuff that we do on the YouTube. You got the stuff that we do on all of our websites. There's the Twitter stuff. So if you're not following us on Twitter, you should friggin' do it. We're on Twitter. We tweet like motherfuckers. Because we like to tweet. We are internet people. We are of the internet. And you are of the internet, too. Panda, do you have anything that you want to declare to the people?
I want
to talk to you about this episode.
I want to declare that, I like flowers and springtime and first-person shooters. That is what I will disclose.
Okay.
Anyway, do you have anything that you need to disclose?
I do. First of all, I need to disclose that I own Apple stock, so I make money whenever people, you know, buy Apple things. Things made by Apple, like the iPhone, which you all are gonna buy. Don't even play like you're not. Make me more some money. But I do own Apple stock. And I also would like to disclose that I like Hello Kitty.
Like a lot. Oh my god, I saw this Hello Kitty wallet that I knew you would love, but I didn't buy it.
You suck.
You don't need it.
Yes, I do. I do.
Oh my god. And
I need it. I need it!
And for people who don't know, I graduate in a week. So, yay me. And, when we got the cake, the girl that we went to get my cake made a Hello Kitty cake. And I think Esh Mom might order it for, you know, the next time you come down.
Oh my god. That would be so awesome.
It looks
It's almost as awesome as us.
I know. Almost. And we get to eat it.
But it's time to go. So, with that, I am Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
We are out of here for this week, people.
Bye, everybody.
Until next time.